from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth Time once again, and to greet you as always in the name of my blessed Savior. And if he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. Boy, I hope this finds you well, but I do know that it finds you blessed. Listen, we're blessed many times that maybe we don't recognize it or realize it, but I'll tell you, we're blessed. And I'm blessed knowing that you're listening, that you're praying, that you have chosen to be a part of this little radio ministry. How it excites me and my beloved Debbie. How we're thankful, how we're honored that you choose to give us this part of your day and to join with us in fellowship around the Word of God. I've opened my Bible to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to look at one verse out of there, just a part of it, actually verse 11 in that great chapter on faith, and share with you the message that God has stirred my heart with, and I hope it stirs yours. You just pray for this whole country, preacher. Would you do that? Pray that God will bless the word that He has laid on my heart. But before that, Deb's got a song she's wanting to do. It's a song that she did early on as God began to grace her and gift her with this talent that she has to write songs and then to perform them. The title of it is, Who Is This King? And I think you'll find that goes along with the message the Lord has laid on my heart. I'm glad you're here today. So glad you're here. If you're not saved, I'd like for you to be saved before the day ends. If you are saved, I'd like for your faith to grow in God's grace and in His mercy.
In the town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a king that was born. He was born in a stable low, but most did not realize what had taken place. This king had come down to enter the human race.
God teaches who it is, tells us who it is. He's the King of glory. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the one who is and was and always shall be. And He's the one we're going to be looking at today. That's why that song goes along with the message God has laid on my heart. We're going to be looking at some of the characteristics of God, some of the things that the Word of God declares about the one true God, the one and only true God, the one who is exalted, the one who is high and lifted up, the one who the Word of God teaches us, whose throne is heaven and earth, is His footstool. We're going to be looking at Him. And as a text verse over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Word of God says this in verse 6. Now this chapter is introducing a great roll call of men and women who live by faith. Men and women just like me and you, sir, ma'am. You and I, friend, those of us who are flesh and blood, those of us who are filled with frailties and failures, and yet God called them. God called them to deposit their faith in Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us, it says, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. But all, friend, listen. These scriptures, these men and women that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11 are given to us as a witness to us, not a witness of us, but as a witness to us of the power of God, the power of faith, the faithfulness of God, and what God can do through earthen vessels like you and I. And after he begins to mention Enoch and the fact that he pleased God and therefore God took him, he said this: but without faith it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please Him, the writer said, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now I'm going to stop right there. The Word of God goes on to say, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But I want to emphasize that statement. Those that come to God must believe that He is. And I want to talk a little while today. And oh, look, friend, we're on holy ground. I want to talk about what God is. I want to talk about what God is. Now I want you to know something. I know this subject is inexhaustible. I know this subject is bigger than me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I would not try to worship a God, follow a God, give reverence and worship to God. Friend, listen, that I could explain, that I could understand. But I want you to know we're going to look at a God who's inexhaustible in subject matter. Listen, He's knowable and yet unknowable. I'm telling you, friend, I believe that's what part of eternity will be for those of us who know Him as Savior, who know Him in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin, who know Him personally, who want to know Him more. I believe that eternity will be filled with the revelation of God to those that know Him. Now look, we have a revelation. We have the Word of God. We have 66 books, and this book opens. It opens like this: in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now look, that's one beginning. Another beginning is over in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. If I can turn to it real quick and get it, I'm going to read it. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have handled, the Word of life. That is the beginning of Christ's earthly sojourn. But let me give you another beginning that John recorded in 1:1 of the gospel that bears his name. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That goes back to, listen to this now, that goes back to a beginning when there was no beginning. How wonderful. How wonderful is that? So we're going to examine God. We're going to look at Him. We're going to consider Him. We're going to be stirred by the things that we learn. We're going to want to reverence Him and honor Him and obey Him and worship Him and praise Him and laud Him and adore Him and magnify Him. I'll tell you, friend, when we find more about God than what we knew, listen, it ought to do something to us. It ought to drive us to the dust. It ought to cause us to go higher than we've ever gone. It ought to cause us to be closer to God than we've ever been. It ought to cause us to desire Him more than we've ever desired Him. It ought to cause us to want to let others know about Him and listen to the Word of God again. They come to Him must believe that He is. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let's begin right there. Let's just simply begin to realize that God is. Thank God. Now listen, let me tell you this. Hey, He is what He always has been. He is what He was. He is what He is. And He is what He always shall be. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 1, and I'm turning just as quickly as I can to that verse. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I want you to know, first of all, that God is the only true God. Now listen to me. There are many gods. I know that there are many gods, little g, but there's only one God, big G. Amen. Thank God. Now listen, there are gods which are no gods. I mean to tell you, we hear about the quote God of Islam, unquote. There are some people that are showing their ignorance when they try to say how the God of Christianity and Judaism is the same God of Islam. And I want you to know something, friend, that's a lie. That's not true. I'm telling you, listen, the God of Islam, hey, isn't the God of Judaism, isn't the God of Christianity. Oh, friend, listen, they say that their God has no son. But I want you to know our God exists as God the Father, our God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, their God is a God of night, and our God is a God of day, and we're going to see that. Have a listen to what the Word of God says. The Word of God's funny. Do you know that? I mean, to tell you, it's amazing. The book of Isaiah chapter 44, the Word of God says this in verse 6, in the latter part of verse 8. Listen now what Isaiah said, and it said in the first place, first time we find out that there's only one true God. I believe the Egyptians found out down in Egypt before that they let the children of Israel as God commanded, and that there is but one true God. And thus saith the Lord, Isaiah said, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. The latter part of verse 8, the Word of God says, is there a God beside me? Question mark. He said, there is no God. I know not in Him. Now that's as funny as anything could be funny. You say, why, preacher? God declared that He is God alone and no other God. And He says, look, He said, I don't know any. And God, listen, the God that we serve, the God that I am presenting, the God of the Bible, the God, listen, friend, and that sent His Son to seek and to save that which is lost, is omniscient, meaning I'm all-knowing. He said, I know all things equally well, all things great, all things small, all things yesterday. I know today as well as I knew them yesterday, and all things of tomorrow. I know them today as well as I'll know them tomorrow. You see, with God, there is no past, present, and future. There's only present. And we'll see that. And God said, listen, hey, if anybody ought to know whether there's any other God, it'd be me who knows all things. And there is no God beside me. I listen to the Jewish friends out there that may be listening. We serve the same God that you do. Remember your Bible, and so does our Bible say that in the beginning, Elohim, I created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not good at Hebrew, but I know Elohim means this. It means the pluralistic name of God. And in that, friend, when God said on over in Genesis, let us make man in our image, He wasn't talking to the angels, but He was talking to the eternal Godhead, which is one God. And I know the Shema. I pray it every morning as I go in my study. As I touch my mezuzah, I want you to know there is one true God, but He's manifested Himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And if you don't get that today, you'll get it eventually. But I got to move on. God is not only the one true God, but He's eternal. I like that, don't you? That causes me to want to rejoice, causes me to want to say glory, hallelujah, causes me to find peace and find hope and find rest. He said this in the book of the Psalm, and this was the Psalm of Moses, the only psalm we have of Moses, at least as far as the record of the Word of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth and the world. Look at this. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Boy, I like that, don't you? I like that. It goes along with the book of Exodus chapter 3. And verse 14, when Moses said, God, listen, when I go down there to that bunch of Israelites, that bunch of Jews down there in captivity, they're going to ask me who sent them. And what am I going to say? And God said, now look, Moses, when you get down there, you just tell them this. Tell them that I am, have sent you. Ah, thank God. What a great revelation. What a great statement about Himself. You know what that means? And that means that God is self-existing. That means that God is self-determining. That means that God exists because He exists. Now you say, preacher, explain that one. I'm going to tell you I can't explain it. But glory, hallelujah, I can proclaim it. And I am today how God is. I believe Jesus said when the Pharisees were on Him, maybe in the 8th chapter of the book of John, not looking at it right now, but listen, when He began to tell them that before Abraham was, I am. They got it. Wasn't it 7 times in John's Gospel that Jesus said, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I'm the water of life. Listen, friend. Oh, God said, I am. Hallelujah. That goes along with the fact that He is eternal, and how joyous that is. Not only is He eternal, but boy, I love this one too. Matter of fact, I love them all, by the way. He is immutable. You say, what's immutable, preacher? Well, that means simply He's unchanging. And in the fact that He's unchanging, listen, that's a testimony that He is perfect. Perfect in His being. Perfect in His existing. Perfect in His doing. Perfect in His willing. I mean to tell you, He's perfect in His thought life. He's perfect, friend, listen, with the angels and with mankind, even with the demons and the devils that have fallen. Whoa, friend, listen, God is immutable. We live in a world that's changing constantly. When I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I can tell I'm changing. Never will forget the first day that I saw gray hair in my hair. I got so tickled I could not stand it. Somebody said, hey, preacher, your hair's turning gray. I said, I don't care what color it turns, just as long as it don't turn loose. Amen. But I was in a restroom in a church I'd gone to preach at. They had fluorescent lights pretty high up, and I looked up after washing my hands, and I got so tickled, couldn't hardly stand myself. But listen, God is immutable. He's unchanging. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, the Word of God declares, I am the Lord, I change not. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, God isn't becoming something that He's never been, nor is He getting rid of something that He doesn't need. He's immutable. He's unchanging. What He was yesterday, as I've already said in this message, He is today. What He was yesterday and today, He will tomorrow. He is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Jesus said in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, and it is verse 5, I believe it is. It's verse 8 actually. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Isn't that wonderful to know? Then when we go to the throne of grace, we get the same God that we had yesterday. Tomorrow we get the same God that we had today. He's got the same thoughts, the same ideas, having the same desires. He's as holy as He's ever been or ever going to be. I don't know about you, but I'm glad in Him. As James said, 1:17, there is no variableness of turning. There's no variableness in Him. What He is, He is. And remember, He said, I am that I am has sent thee. What else is God, preacher? Well, God is holy. Boy, I like that. I like that over in the book of James. Listen to what he said in verse 17, and I just quoted part of it. He said, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thank God. Listen, He is what He is. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 5, and I so much love this. Listen to what John tells us about God. And John, listen, his epistle follows the same line of thinking, the same line of presentation of God Almighty as he does in the Gospel of John. John presents to us the fact that God is light, or the fact that He is holy, or the fact that in Him is no sin. The fact that He is a consuming fire. Listen, and He's also the God of love and the God of light. Not of it, He is. God is light. God is love, and God is life. But look at what He said in the book of 1 John 1, 5. He said, this then is the message we have heard from Him and declare unto you. Now watch this, that God is light. God, John is saying God's holy, God's sinless, God's pure. And listen to what John goes on to say. And he said, in Him is no darkness at all. You know what John is saying there? He's saying not even one. Not even one little bit. Hallelujah. Doesn't that make a Baptist want to shout? I'm thank God. Listen, He's holy. If you don't believe me, ask the angels that occupy the area around His throne. Those strange creatures have referred to as referred to them over in the book of Isaiah 6, maybe. Yeah, I believe that is. I know it is chapter 6. As seraphims that over in Revelation 4. As those beasts that have four faces over in Isaiah, they have six wings. And you know what they do? They cry antiphically, holy, 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 our Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and is to come. Thank God, God's holy, friend. I'm telling you, that's an essential part of His character, and I believe it's so essential. If we knew nothing else about God, if only one thing we can know about God, that would be knowable, it is God is holy. I'm telling you, we live in a flippant society that's lost its blooming mind. We've got to listen, a Christian society that thinks we can come before God in any old way, offer Him any old thing, and it'll please Him. You ought to read the book of the Revelation. You ought to read the book of Malachi. You ought to read the whole Old Testament, actually. I mean to tell you, listen, if you'd been at the foot of Mount Sinai, and when God began to show up after He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and you had seen Him, bless God, in that thick cloud, those thundering and lightning, if you'd have heard that trumpet sound, you'd realize how holy He is. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. John said again, He is light, and in Him is no darkness. We ought to reverence Him. We ought to adore Him. We ought to know He's majestic. We ought to exalt Him. We ought to understand He's high and lifted up. We ought to understand, bless God, that we ought to come forward before Him reverently with godly fear. We ought to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And let me give you one more quickly in closing. God is able. Listen, friend, according to the book of Romans, chapter 4, 21. He's able to keep His promises, thank God, what He said He'll do. And He's able to talk about His promises in the future as if they were a thing of the past. The book of 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, He's able to make all grace abound. I don't care who you are, what you need, God's grace is sufficient. He's got grace enough to save you. He's got grace enough to keep you. He's got grace enough to pick you up, straighten you out, send you on your way. He's the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10. And tells us in the book of Ephesians 3:20, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think. Thank God, if you got a need, take it to Him. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, thank God He's able to subdue. He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. If you've got an enemy coming against you, if you're in a prison, I'm telling you, God's able to do something about your situation. God's able to break you from your addiction. God's able to open the prison doors. God's able to make
make you a new creature in Christ. God is able to make you grow. God is able to cleanse you up, stand you up, move you up, stir you up. And God is able to save to the uttermost. 7:25, the book of Hebrews, you know what that means? That means that, listen, who God saves, He's able to keep to the end. He's able to save you at the beginning. He's able to save you to the end. I've seen that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I'm telling you, friend, He died to save us, but He lives to keep us saved. He's not only that, He's able to save us, but according to Jude 24, He's able to keep us. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad we've got that kind of God. How do you know Him? You may know some things about Him, but it's not enough. You got to know Him. Know Him in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. Know Him in His Son Jesus. Run to Him today. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you need to be saved. Tell Him you ask Christ to be your Savior. Tell Him you're going to trust Him. Tell Him you're going to live for Him. Tell Him you're going to learn about Him and look for Him. Tell Him today that you want to be made a new creature in Christ. And God will save you. He'll save you and He'll keep you. Glad you tuned in. Pray the message was a blessing. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.